This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I didn't get to this yesterday, but Chucky Schumer was on The View with the ladies on there. And this was one of the bites we pulled yesterday. I don't even think it makes sense. He was defending, you know, crossing over on the government shutdown, the CR from last week, saying, oh, you know, it was the Republicans that wanted the shutdown, trying to justify why he switched. But then he says this.
By the way, Musk, Doge, Vote. They want a shutdown. They said they wanted a shutdown. Well, and they thought we'd play into their hands. This guy Vogt, who's head of the Office of Management Budget, has a whole list of what he wants to cut. And the Republican dream, not the Republican dream, the MAGA right-wing Republican dream of decimating the government, you know why they do it? They want tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans. Right. They want to destroy government, give all the money to the wealthy, and get rid of any regulations that they might have. So I felt an obligation to stop.
Okay, Chuck. Tax cuts for the wealthy. You know, the wealthy don't need anything right now.
No,
the wealthy are fine.
Correct.
Okay? But here's what will happen to the rest of the American people, Chuck Schumer. And this is where a show like The View doesn't even bring this up. Hey, but you know, Chucky, that if Congress doesn't renew the tax cuts from the first Trump administration, that
everybody
who earns income tax, let's face it, Elon Musk ain't drawing a paycheck, right?
Nope.
He's living off whatever he has in his portfolio and he's got cash in the bank. The rest of America gets a paycheck. And every time we get a paycheck, we have money confiscated from our paycheck. What Donald Trump did in the first administration is allow less money to go to, you know, Burma for drag shows to be confiscated. And your taxes, everyone, I don't know if Democrats understand this. I don't know if people who voted for Kamala understand this. Everyone's taxes will go up. Everyone's, if they don't renew this.
Oh,
Charles Lipson is here from the University of Chicago, one of our great political contributors, Professor Emeritus up there. Charles, I had to go on a rant on that because, Schumer, give me a break, right?
Well, I'm personally offended that you don't want these drag shows for cross-dressing
okay.
people.
Okay, well, you got a good point
Uganda.
There.
And I got to tell you, it was like life-changing for me.
Yeah. Well, what did you think about my point there with Schumer and just trying to get backed up into this corner here and make the case that, you know, the only thing is that it's just for the wealthy and also because they want to destroy government. Look, I think I don't see anyone out there that wants to completely destroy government. We want government to do the basic functions.
Right.
We don't want them to do more than the basic functions. I think that's a big part of it.
I think that's right. Let me. I think there are two parts to what you're saying. The first is that I think that Democrats were put in a position where either choice they made was going to be bad, right? They were stuck between the dog and the hydrant. And if they shut down the government, they really had a fear that between Elon Musk and what Donald Trump wants to do, that they would be able to cut more deeply. Because as soon as they classify you as a non-essential employee, it makes it easier to cut you from the payroll entirely. So I think that the problem, but the more basic problem for a guy like Schumer, is that what the general election public wants and what the Democratic base wants are different. And if you appeal to one, you lose the other. Schumer, I think, was trying to appeal to the general election base, and you can see that the AOCs and Bernie Sanders and so forth of the party went after him. And now they see he's vulnerable, as all Democrats are. But the Democrats won't have a leader until they pick someone in 2028 to run for president.
Who is the leader?
Leaderless.
Yeah, well, Tim Walz is out there making a fool out of himself right now. Have you listened to any, you know, some of the stuff that's coming out of Gavin Newsom's mouth, and I know how slick he is pretty interesting. He is no doubt trying to get a little bit more in the middle with all this podcast stuff. They've decided they have to do podcasts because the right has been so successful. But he was on.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On with some Tim Walz talking about some of this stuff, and that was a joke as well. You know, it was Gavin Newsom, Charles, that was the guy that made sense in that conversation. That's when you know you're in trouble.
Oh man, if they took away his hair gel and if he looked like J.B. Pritzker, he wouldn't be in the running.
Maybe that's
how can anybody look at the state of California? It takes a real effort to screw up a state like that, right? I mean, you know, it's a beautiful environment. It was just where everybody wanted. We all wanted to be with California girls in the 1960s. I mean, it was where things were happening. And they've just made it a disaster, and Gavin Newsom has been a big part of that. But I mean, I find it really striking that higher educated people are more attracted to this sort of BS than people who sort of have their feet on the ground and wear a John Deere hat.
Yeah, well, no, it's true. The white educated, you know, class is not happy with a lot of stuff that's going on right now, and they're very attracted to what the Democrats are doing. I think it's just crazy. But let me play. This is interesting. I didn't play this yesterday. This is the podcast with Tim Walz. This runs for about 50 seconds, Charles, but I think it's interesting here.
Have they figured it out that the identity piece of this is more important than the actual substance behind it?
Well, they've been doing it for decades. I mean, we've saw the welfare queens. They've seen the Southern strategy. We've seen it over and over. It's an old playbook, and we're as dumb as we want to be that we allow them to do this with CRT and ESG and DEI and every three-letter word.
And then they demonize people.
Yeah, demonize, and they weaponize grievance. They other people. They talk down to people, past people. They humiliate people. They weaponize difficult issues. But the bottom line is, and I think it goes back to what we began with, is, and I applaud you for this, is we cannot continue to be on the defense reacting to this. We've got to go on the offense. We got to meet people where they are. But I also think this, and this is where, this is part of the conversation I'm trying to have, is you got to respect people you disagree with, even, and you can't just dismiss people.
All right, so I love that clip because the last 5 seconds is completely different than the previous 45 seconds because all of a sudden he catches himself and says, oh, wait a second, I got to sound like I'm a little bit moderate on these issues. But they have convinced themselves clearly that anything that the Republicans, Charles, put before the American people is just brainwashing the American people. It's like people in the middle part of the country, let's just use where we are, for example, or in Chicago, that we really don't want, you know, biological men to compete against, or that we just want to do that. I don't even know what the reasoning is for that, because there are good reasons for every issue that the Republicans have put up. If it's the DEI front, well, we don't like that because people are just being promoted for their color or for their gender, not because of the expertise they have. And we think that in medical schools and in, you know, scientists on down the list, that that's not appropriate. So there's good reasons, but they want to put all this on identity politics and just act like the Republicans have won the game there in social media.
Preach it, brother. You know, when I heard those two guys talking, I thought about that quote in an Adam Sandler movie where one of the people says, every single person who listened to this is dumber for having listened to it.
Right.
You know? I mean, first of all, they said basically two things, and both of them, it seemed to me, applied completely to the Democrats and not the Republicans.
Oh, absolutely.
They talked about weaponizing grievances and identity politics. The Democrats have been running on identity politics for a half century. They actually ran on it earlier. I mean, you know, in other words, if you're Italian American, vote for us. If you're Irish American, vote for us, and so forth. But it really became intense after racial politics came in. And then the weaponizing grievance, good Lord. I mean, envy is the main element of their campaign platform. I also think that this issue, which you brought up at the very beginning, which is, are these really going to be, if the tax cuts are renewed, will they really be tax cuts for the rich? I think that's all mirror image politics. I mean, back in the day, there was something called a Chatty Cathy doll. And if you pulled it, it said one of about 10 pre-recorded things. And that's kind of what the Democratic Party sounds like. They're running against an old version of the Democrats, of the Republicans, which is really a George H.W., their vision of George H.W. Bush. It's not the way Ronald Reagan ran the party, and it's certainly not the way that Donald Trump runs it. And look at them saying that everything Elon Musk is doing is for his own financial benefit.
It makes no
sense.
As
if he needed it.
Right.
I mean, it's just crazy.
Everything that Schumer says, and again, they're not challenged on this at all. No one ever brings up, wait a second, you want to talk about the rich? They just want to play the class warfare game. Hillary did it. Obama did it. They all do it because it's really the only trick that they have in the bag at this point. But I want to talk about the media here, Charles, as well, because I don't know if you caught this. I highlighted this yesterday. This is what CBS News did a couple of nights ago on their evening newscast that clearly nobody watches anymore, but still I think it's very interesting.
On this St. Patrick's Day, as millions of Americans celebrate their Irish heritage, recent events remind us that the Irish were among the first immigrants to be targeted in deportation crackdowns.
In the mid-1800s, New York and Massachusetts enforced policies to have Irish immigrants rounded up and deported.
All right, so that's how they started their newscast on St. Patrick's Day, to go back to the 1880s and act like, you know, the country hasn't evolved at all since then. We're still, you know, in Jim Crow. Some people probably still have slaves. None of this has changed over the last couple hundred years, Charles.
Oh, absolutely. And you see it also with the attacks on Israel. They call Israel now Nazis. So I just find this sort of thing sort of the opposite of thinking seriously. Walter Cronkite's news is dead. It's just sad to see what has become. And I'll tell you, the saddest of all in some ways is to see the AP, which used to be just a reliable, hard news, you could run it on any newspaper, become a left-wing outlet. So I don't view When I read, as I do every day, I read the online version of the Washington Post, the New York Times, and Wall Street Journal. When I look at the Washington Post and the New York Times, I don't even read the news stories as if they're news. I read them as a kind of version of an editorial, because just like that CBS, that was news. There was nothing that was false in it. There were there were efforts to deport the Irish and so forth. That's not false, but the whole implication of it was false.
Framing it
and
around
the idea that. Yeah, exactly. And the idea that you lead the news with it is designed to influence people, not inform them.
Well, and you know, I haven't talked about this. Sue, you didn't see 60 Minutes over the weekend, did you? Charles,
no, I don't
did you see 60 Minutes at all on the drone story?
No, life's too short.
Yeah, no, I get it. And so here's the deal. Bill Whitaker did this story. It actually was pretty interesting. My wife and her aunt were sitting around, and I was making cookies the other night. We were watching the story. And it was sort of, I even have some audio I can play in a little bit, but it was focusing on how we still have a lot of questions about the drones. I had a couple of reactions. One was, Bill Whitaker's doing this story. I don't trust him because he came into St. Louis and painted us as a bunch of racists on the Kim Gardner story. So it's sad that whether it's the CBS Evening News, 60 Minutes, you know, NBC, whatever it might be, I have to go in with more skepticism than I've ever had before because I don't know if they're telling the truth.
That's true. And, you know, it's like a spouse who catches a husband or wife cheating. You sort of, your trust is gone from then on. It's really hard to win it back.
It is, yeah.
And I think that the mainstream media has lost trust. I can remember the moment it really began, which was when Dan Rather was exposed for the first time on the internet, the first time ordinary people got to look at documents that the mainstream media was reporting, and they showed that he was just lying. And those kinds of things have really changed. Everything is now transparent. You have everybody who's listening to our to this broadcast and says, "Well, I don't agree with Mark or I don't agree with Charles." You know, they can just go on and post their views, and if they have a lot of substance to it, and if we were widely heard, they could come after us. And I just think, you know, I just think that the people who are saying that the Republicans are have lost touch with reality, they're not looking at the polls. The polls show
exactly the opposite. Yeah, I know.
Exactly the opposite.
Well,
unless there's a recession, the Republicans really cruise forward. If there's a recession, they're in deep trouble.
I just think that, look, I told you this, Sue, a couple of weeks ago, and what I'm about to say is going to sound elitist, and I apologize for that, but my daughter turned 10 years old a couple of weeks ago, and she wanted to go for her birthday dinner to the Olive Garden. Charles, I had probably not been to the Olive Garden since 1997, okay? I'm not an Olive Garden type of person. We got great Italian food here in St. Louis, but I went to the Olive Garden because my daughter wanted to go there. And I walked in, and I'm telling you, there were working class people, guys with flannel shirts, hats.
Yeah.
These
were
hardworking Americans who can barely afford to go to any other place, but they're there at, you know, the Olive Garden. I bring it up because there's not one issue that any of those people in Olive Garden would relate to when it comes to AOC or Chuck Schumer or Tashara Jones or any Democrat. Everything, if you went in there and you just kind of even didn't mention political candidates and started asking them, hey, do you think little boys should play against my daughter here in sports? Not a chance. There wouldn't even be 1% in the Olive Garden that would think that. All of these other things. You think that everyone's taxes should go up in the country who are working people? No, hell no. So why won't the media represent what in my part of the country is the overwhelming majority opinion, even amongst Democrats?
It's a good question.
It is a good question. It's kind of rhetorical.
I think it's a great question. I think part of the answer, it comes from how journalists are now recruited. If you look at an older generation of journalists, they were blue-collar men and women, mostly men, right? I mean, they were from a working class.
Right.
And now they all go to
elite colleges.
Yes. if they go to one of the greatest journalism schools in the country, which is the University of Missouri, I've been told that there by people who know that there is not a single Republican on the journalism faculty.
No, there's not. Look, Charles, this is a longer conversation. You and I should maybe have it sometime off the air. But I went up just 3 weeks ago and sat down with the dean of the journalism school, David Kerpius. He invited me to a basketball game. All of this stemmed from some audio recordings that I was shared from the day after the election from a documentary journalism class in which this professor was unhinged. And in the first minute, he goes, capitalism is idiotic. And it goes on from there. So I had a discussion with the dean of the journalism school about newsroom diversity and not the type that involves the color of your skin, but idea diversity. Right. And I think it was a good conversation, but I'm under no, assumption that anything will change. And everyone that's on that staff at Mizzou are lefties. There's no one that's even like kind of in the middle. He's trying to find someone right now that might write a conservative column for the Columbia Missourian, and they can't find it.
Jeez.
Because they, most of the people that want to do this stuff, they want to change the world. That's what they say, journalists. Charles, I'm running way late here. Awesome to have you on. We will talk soon. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. I'm going to change the world before I talk to you
again.
Well,
you always do. That's what you do for a living. All right, we're coming back with more. I got this good audio from 60 Minutes I want to share coming up next.